deviate away from that a little bit. We're going to take a detour, if you will, and we're going to go in a different direction. And we're going to talk about something that the Lord laid on my heart this week. Exodus, the 13th chapter. Exodus, the 13th chapter. And we want to, Exodus, the 18th chapter. Exodus, the 18th chapter. All right. And just for the purposes of contextual clarity, and hopefully everyone has a Bible you can look on. Amen. Exodus, the 18th chapter. And for the purposes of contextual clarity, we're going to start at verse 5. And this is the New Living Translation. This is the New Living Translation. Jethro now came to visit Moses, and he brought Moses' wife and two sons with him. They arrived while Moses and the people were camped near the mountain of God. Moses was told, "Jethro, your father-in-law, has come to visit you. Your wife and your two sons are with him." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed to him respectfully and greeted him warmly. They asked about each other's health and then went to Moses' tent to talk further. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to rescue Israel from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He also told him about the problems they had faced along the way and how the Lord had delivered his people from all their troubles. Jethro was delighted when he heard about all that the Lord had done for Israel as he brought them out of Egypt. "Praise be to the Lord," Jethro said, "for he has saved you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. He has rescued Israel from the power of Egypt. I know now, that the Lord is greater than all other gods." That verse of scripture is pivotal. Again, at least the first clause, "I know now that the Lord is greater than all other gods, because his people have escaped from the proud and cruel Egyptians." All right? And just a side note, always remember something, that whenever trouble comes to your life, it is a platform for God to reveal the reality and the greatness of who he is. All right? Okay, verse 12. "Then Jethro presented a burnt offering and gave sacrifices to God. As Jethro was doing this, Aaron and the leaders of Israel came out to meet him. They all joined him in a sacrificial meal in God's presence. The next day, Moses sat as usual to hear the people's complaints against each other. They were lined up in front of him morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, 'Why are you trying to do all this alone? The people have been standing here all day to get your help.' Moses replied, 'Well, the people come to me to seek God's guidance. When an argument arises, I am the one who settles the case. I inform the people of God's decisions and teach them his laws and instructions.' 'This is not good,' his father-in-law exclaimed. Verse 18 is our text for today. 'You are going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself.'" Again, our text comes from verse 18 of this 18th chapter of the book of Exodus. In the New Living Translation, it says, "You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself." I want to talk to you about the dynamics of a relationship. The dynamics of a relationship. And I want to pose a question to you. Are you drawing from or draining on your relationships? Are you drawing from or are you draining on your relationships? Now, strap your seatbelts in because we're getting ready to have a collision with Jesus. Are you ready? This week, my brothers and sisters, I had an interesting experience. As is often the case, I find myself, because of the occupation that I'm in as a pastor, from time to time having to counsel with people, having to engage them in conversation and dialogue with a view towards perhaps helping them navigate through some of the very difficult issues of life. And one of the common denominators, as far as the issues of life is concerned, where we are human beings are concerned is relationships. Relationships. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. It doesn't make a difference what your particular ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter what your cultural orientation is. It doesn't matter what your financial pedigree is or what your social status is. The reality is that you as a human being at some particular point in time in your life are going to engage in relationships, relating to, interacting with other individuals. If you're normal and if you're healthy, it is unavoidable. Okay? If you're normal and if you're healthy, it is unavoidable. And what is going to happen is those relationships are going to find themselves evolving through a series of different dynamics. There are times in your life where there will be romantic relationships, all right? Prayerfully, they will be according to the biblical standard, which says that males in a romantic setting relate to females and females relate to males. That's what the Bible says. That's what God sanctions. I know we live in a culture that is deeming itself to be liberal and enlightened, and it's trying to reinterpret what is allowed from God's point of view to say that we can find relationships of female to female and male to male in a romantic and even sexual nature acceptable. But make no mistake about it, when you read this Bible, God does not say that that is acceptable. All right? He does not say it is acceptable. Now, we don't condemn and we don't judge people who may be struggling with that, but it is our responsibility to inform them of what God says and then to create an environment, to create a matrix so that they can begin to come into alignment with what God wants for their lives. That is not what God wants for their life. That is below his standard, and that's what sin is. Anything that I'm doing that is below God's standard for my life, all right? So at some particular point in time, you are going to engage in relationships. If it's not romantic, if you're normal, you should have friends. Okay? Everyone comes here some kind of way as a result of a biological interaction between a male and a female. So more than likely, you are deposited in some kind of family, so there will be familial relationships. You will have work-related relationships. You will have community-related relationships, interacting with people that you live around and that you live with and et cetera. You will have some relationships that will center around perhaps some interests that you are captivated by. You may belong to a civic association. You may belong to a professional association. You may belong to an association that pursues a certain type of hobby. Your life is going to inevitably encounter the dynamic of relationship. It is the gift that God has given to us. God has given us the gift of interacting with each other. One of the things that I like about our church is, even though our mission is for us to be a community that is committed to creating encounters with God's message of love, hope, and direction, we intend to do it from a platform of cross-culturalism, multiracialism, and trans-ethnicity. When God is finished with this church, it is going to be a rainbow of diversity of individuals that come from all walks of life. There are going to be individuals in this church that hail from different areas of Europe. There are going to be different individuals in this church that hail from different areas of the continents of the Americas, North, South, and Central America. There are going to be individuals in this church that will come from Asia. There are going to be individuals that come from this church from the continent of Africa. There's going to be a myriad of people represented from all walks of life here in this fellowship. And I like that because the beautiful part is that we will have the best that life can offer as far as interacting with people that come from all walks of life. There are things that our Latino brothers and sisters can bring to us that we cannot bring to ourselves. There are things that our Italian brothers and sisters can bring to us that we cannot bring to ourselves. There are things that our Asian brothers and sisters that can bring to us that we cannot bring to ourselves. There are things that our African brothers and sisters can bring to us that we cannot bring to ourselves. The idea is, brothers and sisters, God created us from a diverse platform so that none of us would have all the answers, but within the complete conglomeration of who we are together is all the answers, because it reflects the God that we serve. Man, I feel Jesus right now. And so you and I, we're going to have to learn that within the course of that coming together, we're going to at times interact and relate with one another. And sometimes, just like everything else, we will experience the more darker side of relationship. Why? Because just like everything else that happened, sin came and perverted what God intended to be pure. See, racism is a perversion of what God intended to be pure. It's a perversion. God never intended for us to have hatred for one another just because we look different, just because we eat different, just because we dress different. No, that is a perversion that came as a result of sin, of Satan tempting Adam and Eve in the garden to come away from what God said, and one of the byproducts was racism. Another byproduct of it is when our relationships become dysfunctional. They become dysfunctional. And so this week, as a pastor, I had the occasion of being confronted with the season of when a relationship became or is becoming dysfunctional. And so someone engaged me in a counseling format. I had actually reached out to them just to make a routine check on how they were doing, and through text. And they sent me a text message and said, "You have a minute, can we talk?" And I said, "Okay, call me." I was working my way back. Yes, it was Friday. I was working my way back from the city, from actually Ellis Island on a field trip with DJ, and was sitting on the bus and just enjoying the young people, the children being children, and thought about this individual. And so he reached out to me and he called me. And I was asking him about how he was doing professionally in a work environment. And then he proceeded to tell me a struggle that he's having in the romantic area. And he's in a relationship that he's considering making permanent, but it is extremely toxic. It is extremely corrosive. It is extremely dysfunctional. And he began to share with me a timeline of how the relationship just really deteriorated. And then he said something that really disturbed me. He said, something happened and I found myself putting my hands on this individual. And he was even disturbed to tell me himself. And he said, you know, when my feeling is that when things have to degenerate to that point, it is time for me to extricate myself from the situation. He said, but my dilemma is that the individual that I'm involved with doesn't do aloneness very well. They don't do aloneness very well. And then I find myself in a duality or duplicitous situation in that there's one part of me that detests some of the things that she represents, but then there's another part of me that can't do without her, that is deeply and madly in love with her. Do you see the dysfunction that is happening here, my brothers and sisters? And so as this individual began to talk, I found myself as a pastor realizing an inescapable reality. And that was that there needed to be, at the very least, a time period of separation between these two individuals. And so when I got an opportunity to completely hear him out, let him express his heart, I said, so-and-so, you need to consider a period of separation. And I shared with them that I had personal experience as far as this is concerned, because there was a stage when Pastor Pat and I, in our engagement, had to go through a separation. Now, you all know I'm very transparent, I'm very candid, and so I just talk about things the way they are. I try not to dress up life, at least from my standpoint, from the standpoint of that I've always done everything right, and I've always been good, and always been perfect, and always hit the mark. No, I've missed it plenty of times. So don't get nervous when I tell you these things happen, because you need to know these are the realities of life, even when you're a Christian. Even when you're a Christian. So Pastor Pat and I had to go through a separation, and we had to go through the separation because there were so many externalities that began to put pressure from the outside on our relationship that we had to step back and sort through, first of all, what did God intend? What was he saying? What was it that we were looking at? What was the original goal? And then become refortified in that and get focused and then come back together. And as you can see, the separation didn't last. Sometimes God will pull you away from some things to get you ready for what he wants to pull you to. Oh, man, let me say it again. Sometimes God will pull you away from some things to get you ready for that he wants to pull you to. And so I share with the brother, I'm not making a recommendation as far as a theoretical standpoint of view is concerned, but I'm giving you some practical advice that is, from what I'm hearing, you need to implement immediately. And the retort was, well, we've tried that, but she doesn't do aloneness very well. So now I'm hearing double talk, basically. Because on one point, you can't stand her or you need to get away from her, but on one point, you can't do without it. There's a problem here. And then the excuse that you're positing is because of what the problem is with her. And I said, well, wait a minute. That even adds more of a problem to the issue. All right? Because anytime you are considering entering into a permanent relationship with someone and they have not yet learned how to be happy with themselves alone, you've got a problem. And just let me just give someone, a warning. Don't go into a relationship, especially if you're looking to make it permanent, if you're looking to enter into marriage with someone who hasn't yet mastered being happy with themselves when it's just themselves. Uh-oh. Okay? Because you will never be able to make that person happy. And I'll show you in a minute why that is when we get down to the meat of what it is I want to share with you. And so, when he said this to me, I said, listen, you have a problem here because you're considering marrying this individual, but at the same time, you're telling me that they're not happy being by themselves. See, every single person has to pass the test of finding contentment and happiness in their single stage.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
Why? Because even when you get married, even when you get married, there will be times when your partner can't be there to give you what you think you need. Yes, you get married, you're bonded to one another, but there will be times when you won't necessarily see each other. I had a 2 or 3 day trip not too long ago, and it killed me because I wanted to be with my wife. That's why I married her, so I could be with her. Okay? But because I was happy with me, I made it through those 2 or 3 days. I didn't jump off a cliff. I didn't drive a car into a brick wall or nothing crazy like that. Didn't spend money on a phone bill that I didn't have. I just made it through. And so I said, well, we have a problem here. So this relationship is seriously dysfunctional. And I said these words. And before I tell you, have you ever been talking with someone and said something that you knew it wasn't you? You knew you wasn't that brilliant. You knew you just couldn't have been that bright. You knew that had to come from another otherworldly source. And I knew it was God. As soon as it came out, I was like, oh, that's God. And I said, you've got to realize that you've got to evaluate this relationship and ask yourself, are you drawing from this relationship or are you draining on the relationship? Are you drawing from it and are you draining? And then when I'm talking to him at the same time, I'm like, this is good preaching material. I got to write this down. Because I felt the Lord talking to me. And I began to share with him the whole mechanism of healthy, functional / unhealthy, dysfunctional relationships, which part of comes down to this dynamic of either drawing from or draining on. Say with me, drawing from or draining on. And so the Lord began to show me how our relationships are going to fall within the categorization of these two dynamics. Either we are going to draw from our relationships or we are going to drain on them. One or the other. And if you can take every relationship that you are part of and fit them within these two categories. Whether it be a marital relationship, whether it be a familial relationship, whether it be a work relationship, whatever it is, you can categorize it. For instance, I thought about it when I thought about children. Usually the first 15 to 18 years where our children is concerned, it's a drain. Okay? And some parents are trying to look straight ahead. They don't want to say nothing because they don't want to give it away. But that's okay. I'll take the heat as a parent. Usually, and sometimes after the 18 years, it's a drain. Okay? When things are being drained, they are being totally depleted. But when we are drawing from something, there is the dynamic of replenishing going on. And so the Lord began to show me how that we have to begin to look at the relationships that we are involved in from this standpoint. Are we drawing from it? Are we draining? And he took me to This particular passage of scripture, this is one of the passages of scripture. Now, what happened in this passage of scripture? Let me set it up for you. Moses and the children of Israel have experienced deliverance from the Lord God of heaven. God has drowned the Egyptians in the Red Sea. You know the miracle. The Red Sea parted. They went through. And when God drew the Egyptians in, and when he got the Egyptians in, and then he drowned them, and they didn't have to worry about them anymore. And then God blessed them to defeat the Amalekites. And so now Moses had shipped his wife and two sons off when they were getting ready to go into the midst of the conflict for their safety. And now his father-in-law brings them back. And they have this time of fellowship, and Moses testifies, gives a praise report to his father-in-law about the great and wonderful things that God had done. Excuse me. And then the father-in-law hangs around a little bit, and then he observes this interesting phenomena amongst relationships that's going on between Moses and the people of God that he's leading. And he's looking, and he sees that when it's time for court to convene, that Moses is handling all of the disputes. This reminds me of the commercial, The Donut Man. How many of you remember The Donut Man? He was the only one that could get up in the morning and make the donuts. You know, successful businessman, has started his franchise successfully, but for some reason, he had not learned how to pass the baton, pass the torch on, so that he was not the only one that had to get up to make the donuts. Moses had deteriorated into becoming the Donut Man. But thank God for the wisdom of someone who was a little more advanced, who had a little bit more experience, that was able to see from a peripheral standpoint of view that this was not good. And so then we pick up in verse 14, it says, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening? All right? The first thing he did was he confronted Moses. And you and I are going to have to confront the reality of our relationship. We're going to have to honestly evaluate the profitability or the unprofitability of them thereof. And we don't like to do that, especially when we are emotionally intertwined with what's going on. We don't like to do it if we think that it's going to cost us something. We don't like to do it if we think we're going to lose. But you're going to have to confront the reality of your relationships where this is concerned. And so what happened? He says, why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening? Moses replied, because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. Look at the excuse that he makes. Just a side note, if you're going to be a person of influence and a person of leadership, you have to realize that there's plenty of other fish in the sea. Although the fishing trip that we had as men didn't necessarily back that up. We didn't catch a lot, but they're out there. And as a leader, you're going to have to realize that there are other people who can lead besides you. We're having celebration of ordination and releasing leaders because I can't continue to be the full scope of leadership that this church needs if it's going to grow. And you can't continue to be the full scope of you being you and doing what you do unless you understand that when there's areas where you have authority that you're going to have to begin to delegate. If you're a parent, you're going to have to begin to learn how to delegate. It's what we call chores, which equal developing responsibility. Okay? Because if not, then you'll find yourself in a situation where you have a 20, 21, 22-year-old on your hands and you're still doing their laundry. See, that's a drain on. That's not a draw from. Okay? When you get married, you have to learn how to put some things in place so that there's not a drain on and a draw from. Pastor Pat helped me out real good. The first breakfast we had after the honeymoon. I've told you before. All right? And, you know, she makes the eggs with the bacon and the toast and makes the sandwich of it. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm eating my food. I'm like, no. You're making a sandwich. My mother said you don't make a sandwich. And she's like, you're not with your mother now. See, what happened, she realized, let me help the brother out to understand. You're going to put a drain on this relationship by bringing your mother here. Okay? You're going to have to accept the fact that you're going to have the courage to put some things into place to preserve the relationship, all right? And so Moses gives his little excuse, all right? He says, when a dispute, verse 16, arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions, as if he was the only one that had a corner on God. Notice what happens with Jethro. Jethro does not buy it. He says, this is not good. Now, at this particular point in time, the Bible does not record whether or not Jethro was someone who was a part of the community of faith. So what does that tell us? It tells us that sometimes we're going to have to be willing to listen to other people, the advice and counsel they give us, even if they're not coming from the background that we think they should come from. There are people who can at times give you good sound advice. They don't necessarily have to be speaking in tongues, falling out, frothing at the mouth, having all the sanctification lingo and stuff going, but there are some things that they can tell you about that you don't know about. You've got to let the Holy Spirit show you when to use wisdom to glean from them. It doesn't mean that you have to lay down your relationship with Jesus Christ. It just means that you're using wisdom, gleaning from them something that can benefit you to get you further along. And Moses' father-in-law Jethro said, no, this is not good. What does he say? You are going to wear yourself out. You are going to drain yourself. You're going to drain yourself. And the people too. So there's some things we see here, brothers and sisters. There's some things we see here. All right? Relationships are a two-way street. They are a two-way street. All right? There has to be give as well as take from both sides of the coin. You can't have all give on one side and all take on the other side. It is unhealthy and it is dysfunctional. And it does not benefit neither party. There is something about people, when you consistently give them everything that they want, they don't appreciate it. And they don't appreciate you. And eventually they come to despise you. Okay? So there are times when there has to be give and take from both sides. And Jethro said, you are going to drain yourself and the people too. Let's look at that for a moment. What is the difference between drawing and draining? Because if you notice, when we draw from or when we drain from, in both instances, there is subtraction and extraction taking place. All right? There's something that is being pulled out of. There's something that's being taken away from in both instances. But this is the difference. When you drain something, you are not putting back what you take out. And eventually, it gets too empty. And if you don't have the good sense to realize that it's empty, you're going to keep trying to drain from it. It's like trying to get water from a dry well. At some particular point in time, the only thing you're going to pull up is mud, dirt, dust, rust, all other kind of stuff except the healthy water that you need. And you're going to damage the well. You're going to damage the channel that you're trying to use to extract the stuff because the channel is only built to carry water. See, there are some relationships that we are involved in that have become depleted. And they were designed to carry one thing, but we're trying to get it to bring us something else. Ooh, let me say it again. There are some relationships, all right, that were designed to carry one thing, but we're trying to get it to give us something else. Drain. Drain. And you have to have the courage to realize when you're being drained. I don't care how beautiful she looks. She may be a drain. I don't care how much of a hunk he is. He may be a drain. I don't care how long you've been working there. It may be a drain. I don't care how long you've been living there. It may be a drain. Okay? There comes a point in time, that child was beautiful when you first had them, but they are grown now. If they don't have a job, they are a drain. Either a job or they're in school preparing themselves to get, and in this day in economy, one will not do. You need two. Okay? You're married to someone who has no ambition, has no drive, has no desire, don't want anything out of life, you've got a problem. That's a drain. And you see the world as your frontier, and all they want is the couch. That's a drain. That's a drain. That's a drain. That's a drain. Okay? And I'm not talking about opposites. Because Pastor Pat and I are opposites. You know, I'm the adventurous one. I will try stuff. I'm the risk taker. Let's go for it. But she's a little bit more, no, let's chill. No, you know, I call her my ivory soap girl. You know, just very simplistic, bottom line. And it's good because we bring balance to each other. There are times I say, no, we need to go and adventure something. Then there are times she said, no, we just need to chill and hang on to the bottom line. So I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when it has gone out of context, when it has gone out of balance. We're talking about a drain. There's some people that are dating individuals. You need to wake up and realize it's a drain. They're not going to give you what you want. They can't give it to you. There's some men who don't have a work ethic. And outside of a number of miracles from God, they are not going to get it when you marry them. Usually it goes backwards. So if you're in a situation now, you're able to observe the brother doesn't work. I'm telling you, run, baby, run. If you can't run, call me. I'll carry you. But get away. Okay? You're dealing with a sister? You're dealing with a female, a woman, and then it's like, you know, every time you try to make a move, it's like pulling you back. That's the sum total of your relationship, and it's going to drain you because every time you try to move forward, you know, there's a difference between caution and a lack of drive. The difference. You have to try something at some particular point. You got to decide on some kind of bottom line someday. You never want to. No. I'm telling you, run, baby, run. You have a lazy child. That's a drain. You've got to begin to introduce that child to a work ethic. And no matter how much they weep and moan and cry, insist that they do certain things around the house. And all children are going to try you. You know? It's just the nature of the child. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And the rod of correction can be a lot of different things. The point is correction. You can't let that child grow up like that. Drain. So you can evaluate when something is draining you, when it brings you to a point of emptiness where you can't give out anymore. Now let's look at the other side. Draw. How do we know when I'm drawing from something? All right? There is a replenishing dynamic that takes place with the things that I draw from. It replenishes itself. It replenishes me, and it replenishes the channel. Okay? Good example for me to utilize is Pastor Pat and I. We've been married almost 19 years. Now, I don't want to give you the impression our relationship is not a drain. Okay? I want you all to think, you know, it's a draw. And what happens is, the first dynamic that's in place is that she and I have individual relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's key. That's very, very key. All right? If a person has not discovered the reality of who they are, from the perspective of what God has or how God has created them, you're already dealing with a situation that's already in the red. Okay? So you got to know, first of all, who you are, and that comes through having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it's because she has a growing, thriving relationship with the Lord, I have one. Now, as we relate to each other, there will be times when we withdraw from each other, but there is replenishing so that when we come back to the well again, it is not empty. And you have to look at your relationships, and you have to be honest. Can I draw from this person? Can this person draw from me? It needs to be a two-way street. You ever notice? Have you ever been in a situation when you had a friend and every time it was time for you to go out, you always had to pick up the tab? Anybody ever been there? Okay? They never had no money. And there was always some kind of sob story. There was always some, you know, some kind of Lady Sings the Blues vignette. Always, you know, some hard luck, something that happened. Okay? Whereas if it's a real friend, there will be times they will tell you, no, I got the check this time. When it's a real friend, you'll find yourselves fighting over the check. When we went out to Columbus, Ohio, it's just a perfect example. We went out to Columbus, Ohio, and I mean, Pastor Kelly and Minister Latricia, they took care of us royally, you know? And so I'm thinking, I'm saying, okay, now, this man is just, you know, he's just rolling out the red carpet for my wife and I. I had to do something back. So I was online, and I was doing some information, some research about Columbus. And, you know, when I go different places, one of the first things I want to see is what kind of restaurants they have. Because you all know me, I believe God made me to eat. I don't look like it, but I enjoy eating. So I get on the internet, and I put in restaurants and yada, yada. And then as I was watching the television, before we were going, a commercial came up for this restaurant called Red Robin. And they were showing these juicy burgers. I was like, oh, that looks good. That looks good. So I went on the internet, and I hit in Red Robin. And then when I went to Store Locator, I typed in Columbus, Ohio. And what do you know? There was two, not one, but two Red Robins in Columbus. So then Pastor Kelly, he says, okay, so do you know what you want to do? I said, yes, I want to go to Red Robin. He said, what do you know about Red Robin? And I said, oh, Reverend, I did my research. He started laughing. So he took us to Red Robin. Now he took us to all these other great places. And they were beautiful restaurants. And I know he had to spend money. So I'm saying to myself, I got to give something back. I got to give something back. And so the waitress came. She was very talkative. Talked too much, actually, I think. Sometimes you got to be quiet. Okay. And so she came and served us. And there was this particular time she walked by the table, and I said, oh, by the way, let me have the check. And I did it real smooth under the cover. And so when she came by, she put the check in my hand, and I scooped it up. And Pastor Kelly said, no, you don't, Reverend. He said, no. He said, let me have it. I said, well, no, you know, I asked her for it. She gave it to me. He said, Reverend, let me have that check. And we are going back and forth, and the two wives are looking at us. See, that's real friendship. You're going to make the attempt to try and minister back. It's a draw. It's not a drain. And so what he did was he pulled the ecclesiastical rank on me. He said, listen, I am the ranking pastor. I am the big brother. I am the father, and I command you to give me the check. So I did like this. Just slid it across the table real slow, and I looked at him like, and his wife started laughing. But the point I'm trying to make to you, there's going to be equal give and take. And a relationship replenishes itself. It replenishes itself. And God wants us to begin to have the courage to look at our relationships, even our relationship with Him. Are you a drain on God, or are you drawing from Him? Now, you know what? That seems to be a paradoxical question. It just seems to have a lot of oxymorons. How can I drain on God when you treat Him like a sugar daddy? When the only time you pay attention to Him is when you get in trouble and you come with a need. Bishop Jake said, it amazes him how people just live their lives, go about as if God doesn't exist, and then when they get in trouble, who's the first person they call on? Oh, God. And then get mad when He doesn't come through. You're deceived. All relationships, when you expect someone to do something for you, that expectation, if it's realistic, is predicated upon a track record that you have with them. Very rarely do we allow strangers to walk up to us and say, I need thousands of dollars. Can you please give it to me? You're going to be on the phone trying to find out where's the nearest straitjacket house. You don't think they're crazy. So why should God be any different? But then we draw from God when, as we have expectations from Him, He has expectations of us. And He knows that we're going to do our very best to fulfill it. God knows that He can count on us. Does God know that He can count on you? If someone was in dire, desperate straits and they needed somebody to get a prayer through, could God drop your name on their lips and know that when they call, you're going to follow through? Is it a drain or a draw? And that's the first place we have to start. We have to honestly look and say, you know, where am I with God? Do I just see Him as a proverbial meal ticket? Or do I see Him as someone who I interact with? Not only me trusting Him, but He can trust me. Not only him completing his end of the bargain, but me completing my end. Do I do everything that's laid out in this Bible? At least make the attempt to. I'm not suggesting that you have to be perfect. None of us are going to be perfect. And God makes allowances for that. See, it's sincerity that he evaluates us on. Are you sincere? He tests the motives of the heart. Are you sincere? Do you at least want to do it? The Bible says he works in us the will and he works in us the will to do of his own good pleasure. But do you want to do it? See, that's what God is looking for. And then, brothers and sisters, as you regulate it properly, as far as your relationship with God is concerned, as when you get to the point where you are drawing, it's a drawing, then everything else will fall in line. Turn to Matthew for a moment. Matthew's Gospel, 22nd chapter. I'm going to wrap it up. Matthew's Gospel, 22nd chapter. In this passage, Jesus is answering the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees who tried to trap him. And they asked him, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And the premise was they was trying to get him to focus in on one commandment so they can discredit him as being someone who was imbalanced as far as the law is concerned. How are you going to trick Jesus? He's the one that wrote the law. He gave the law. All right? You can't tell him about the law that he made. He knows it intricately. What does he say? Matthew 22, verse 38. Jesus replied, verse 36, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Jesus is saying, if you want to summarize the law and see which commandments will allow you to fulfill all the others, first of all, put yourself in a drawing relationship with God, not a draining. And then when you have a drawing relationship with God, the next thing it's going to do is it's going to set the platform for the rest of your relationships to be draws and not drains. And that's what we need to do. Now, final passage of Scripture, Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians, the sixth chapter. Verse 2 and verse 5, New Living Translation. This is Paul talking. What does he say? He says, share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. But then when you get down to verse 5, he says, we are each responsible for our own conduct. See, the Bible is showing us the balance. The Bible is showing us the balance. All right? There are times when you need to be prepared to give and to receive from one another. But then there are times that you need to be prepared to stand on your own two feet. And this is where the balance comes. And this is how we avoid unhealthy, dysfunctional relationships that are primarily a drain on us and keep going the cycle of healthy, functional relationships that we draw from. And that's what God wants. So I want to ask you to be very honest as I close this message. I want you to be very honest. Allow God to do an inventory. And first of all, look at where you and he are. Look at the sum total of your relationship. Is God someone you have ignored? Have you been oblivious to the reality of who he is? And he's been calling you. He's been wooing you. He's been pursuing you. And perhaps you've turned a deaf ear to him. Perhaps you've ignored him. You may have even just outright blatantly rejected him, but he's kept coming because he wants to enter into a drawing relationship with you. And if you've already taken care of that first step, because God doesn't stop when he initiates relationship with us, it keeps developing. It keeps developing. And it's a progression. It evolves. It is a process. And instance by instance, situation by situation, circumstance by circumstance, God continues the process. And he shows us the things that are draining on us, the things that are draining on him. And he shows us how to implement things that will allow us to draw and be drawn from and to be replenished. So I want to challenge you this evening. Just everyone, just bow your heads for a moment as we go into a time of prayerful reflection. I want to challenge you to really honestly and courageously look at where you are with this message. Do you need God? Do you need to put yourself in a situation where you don't look at him as someone that you can just drain? You don't look at him as someone who is just empty, devoid, irrelevant, incapable, impotent as far as being a reality of your life or a reality in your life? Where are you in God? Where are you in God? Where are you in God? And if you want to, if you're just honest enough to say, you know what, I'm not where I should be with God. I've never started a relationship with him, but I realize I need him. He's the missing piece. He's what I want. He's the key. You don't have to jump through a lot of hoops to correct it. All you have to do is just have an open and willing heart and just ask him to come in. And you do it by praying along with me silently as I pray aloud. If you want to begin walking with God, pray like this: Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. That means my life does not really reflect what you intended. Forgive me, Lord. I ask for your forgiveness because I believe that you sent your son Jesus as a sacrifice so that I can be forgiven. I ask you into my heart. Come into my entire life. Be my Lord, be my God, be my guide, be my friend. And I will walk with you, I will talk with you, and I will serve you forever. I will commit myself to establishing a relationship between you and I that draws and does not drain. This is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, congratulations, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away, we're told in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, the 17th verse, and all things have become new. Is anyone that prayed that prayer for the very first time, would you just raise your hand so we can celebrate with you? Don't be embarrassed. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, anybody, just raise your hand so we can celebrate with you. All right, praise God. The other prayer I want to pray is for those of us who have been walking with the Lord for a period of time. I want to give us the opportunity to really honestly, truthfully, and courageously reflect where we are with our relationships. One of the reasons why the Lord sent this word, because he wants to begin to do some repositioning. There's some things we have to take another look at. There's some things we have to reevaluate. There's some things we have to examine. Some people we are associated with, some people we are affiliated with, some people that we're involved in. And God wants to bring balance and re-regulation because he wants to take us to a new level. Just for a quick moment, just have a time of reflection. Ask the Lord to show you you. Ask the Lord to show you your life. Ask him to give you the courage, the strategy, and the commitment to put your relationships in perspective according to this word. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else will do. Because nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. Thank you, God. You're all I want. Oh, you're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. You're all I want. Is he all you want? You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Oh, help me know you are near. One more time, you're all, I want. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're all I've ever needed. God, I love you. You're all I want. Would you help? Help me know you are near. Help me see. Help me see you are near. Help me feel you are near. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time, Father, of loving confrontation. Thank you for this time of edification. Thank you for the love that you have for us that is so vast, that is so true, that you will not leave us in the state that you find us, but you are ever making us into what you have originally intended for us to be. Father, as we, your people, leave this edifice today, I pray that the spirit of this word would just ring in our hearts, that it would resonate in our ears, and that in the ensuing days and the ensuing weeks that we would have the courage, the commitment, and the consistency to allow you to restructure, to renovate, and to realign our lives so that you can give us what you desire to give us, take us where you desire to take us, and make us what you desire to make us. I pray now for the protection of your people, that as the enemy would seek to try and come in and steal the seed of the word as he often does, and he would try to put roadblocks and hindrances and distractions in their path, I pray that they would be divinely protected, that this word would fall on good ground, and that it would bring forth much fruit in the days to come. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Did you receive something from that word? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord is.